Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. The world we live in is confusing. Things that once seemed black and white now look more gray. We are constantly hearing voices that tell us things that are directly opposed to what the Bible teaches. Our guest today, Adam McManus, would agree that if ever there was a time in history when a biblical worldview is essential to our faith, this is it. We take a minute to remind you, before we start our show, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him, no matter what you are going through. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for mine. He shed His blood for all, was buried, and raised on the third day. He rose again to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every day. Today, He is calling you, and I pray that you will receive His call. Adam McManus is the writer and the voice of the Christian newscast, The Worldview in 5 Minutes, which uniquely pairs Bible verses with two of the 7 daily stories. He is also the founder of McManus Talk Show Services and has over 20 years' experience as a daily talk show host and a producer. Adam currently lives with his wife, Amy, and their 3 children in San Antonio, Texas. Adam, welcome to our show.
Thanks. A delight to be here.
Thanks for being. I really want to jump right in. I think a first for me being an interviewer of an interviewer. So I'm excited. I'm scared. I just kind of want to open the microphone and say, "Hey, you ask the question and then you answer it, and we'll just all listen."
You know, I just told my wife before I stepped into this interview. I said, "You know, I'm nervous." I said, "I'm not used to being the interviewee. I'm used to being the interviewer." Or also doing some publicity work for some other interviewees. So we're both nervous for different reasons. It's kind of funny. We're used to the other role, but go ahead.
And so, I'm just calm as can be over here knowing you're both going to do great. Thank you, Jesus.
Adam, we like to start where you started. Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Stamford, Connecticut, and came to Christ at the age of 7 when my parents, who had not been Christians up until that point, were introduced to and invited to an evangelical Episcopal church. And those two words rarely go together, but there are some Bible-believing Episcopalian churches. And we went to St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Darien, Connecticut. It took us about a 30-minute drive to get there. And at the same time, my parents were opening up their own Bibles for the first time. And I was learning what was the truth of God's teaching in Sunday school. We were just learning the ways of the Lord together, and I remember distinctly my Sunday school teacher wore bell-bottom jeans. He usually had sandals on, which he kicked off. Remember, I was born in 66, so here I am, you know, 7 years later, and he had been radically saved by God from a world of drug abuse, and even, I think at one point I found out later, it wasn't appropriate to tell a 7-year-old group of kids that he had considered suicide, but that apparently was part of his testimony as well. And he was so grateful to God for saving his soul from hell and from a life of addiction that he wanted to give back and started his work as a Sunday school teacher. And I remember keeping one eye half open while he was praying, and I thought, gosh, he is really convinced that someone is listening to whatever he's saying right now. So I started out as a 7-year-old kind of cynic. I wouldn't call myself an atheist, but I didn't really believe in much of anything because it wasn't a part of the way I had been raised, to at some point down the road, you know, several months, thinking, you know, I think what my Sunday school teacher is saying is true. There really is a God. He really is listening. And I want the God of the universe, who created everything we can see, including my own little body, to have a relationship with me, just like he has a relationship with my Sunday school teacher. And that's what prompted me to come to Christ, was the winsomeness of his own testimony.
Wow. I love that. That's, you know, I think as interviewers, at least for myself, you know, as we as we do our work, we're allowed to usher in the testimony of others. And I feel like that is just how you began. The testimony of someone else changed your life, and therefore your life has been dedicated to bringing
Adam,
to
Adam, can I jump? Excuse me, I want to jump in and ask, did your parents come on board fairly quickly? Because this is all at the first same time for all of you.
Yes, I was the oldest of three boys, and so I had a five-year-old and a three-year-old younger brothers, two younger brothers, and they came to Christ about the same time I did, and made sure that I stayed in Sunday school and went through the youth group. And ultimately, when I went to Duke University, I got involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Campus Crusade for Christ. I did something crazy at Duke. I was walking down the main kind of bridge leading to the student center in between classes, and as students were wont to do, they always had a particular cause they were pushing. It could be political, social, environmental, whatever it might have been. I matriculated in 1984. And there were fraternities actually hosting something called Sex Week, which horrified me. I thought, what on earth? And there, it was around February 14th, around Valentine's Day, and they thought it would be really cute to pass out hundreds of multiple colored condoms and literature about the importance of safe sex, quote-unquote. And I was so perturbed by the whole thing, not surprised, but just perturbed, that I organized a group called, and your Christian listeners will have to brace themselves for the name of the group, but they'll get it once they understand. The group is called Devils Who Don't. And that's because our mascot, sadly, Duke, was the Duke that was the devil. And so anyone that knows our basketball team knows the Duke Devils. But so the students were called the Devils. And so our group was called Devils Who Don't, meaning that we said no to sexual activity before marriage. And there were some in our group, like myself at that point, who were true virgins in that we had never had sexual intercourse or sexual relations with someone else. And there were others who had made that mistake or several times over, who were making a fresh commitment to chastity before marriage and ultimately fidelity within marriage. And I contacted Josh McDowell's ministry through Campus Crusade for Christ, and he sent me thousands of these little business card-sized love thoughts, which said things on them like, I'd rather have a real honeymoon, or I'm waiting for you know, my future spouse before I you know, have sexual relations. Or they had cute little things on them like that. And I sent out a press release inviting the local media to attend my speech that I was going to give on that same very walkway where everyone had their various causes. And I had all my buddies from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Campus Crusade for Christ holding signs behind me that said things like, condoms don't protect you from emotional damage. And which I thought was kind of a cute play on, you know, what condoms are supposed to do. And I had my 10 reasons why I was waiting until marriage to have sex, and the group behind me was, one of them, the primary one, is because God said so, and this is, he wanted us to flee from sexual immorality. There was a helicopter live overhead, and a camera right in front of me, and they were beaming my speech, or a portion of it, live across Ken's TV 5 across North Carolina, because it was huge news that a student, much less a group of students, in school in 1984 dared to say they were either virgins or they were making a fresh commitment to a secondary virginity.
Wow.
So, you know, and the cover, I remember, of the next day's paper said, students get unusual Valentine, as we were challenging them to wait until marriage to have sex.
You know, what a story. What a story. My question is, I love that. I want to back up. So who influenced that? Who influenced you in your growing years?
My father was a newspaper columnist who had once worked at Time magazine, initially based in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and then ultimately covered Lyndon Johnson in the White House. And he ultimately wrote a column called Solutions, which looked at political solutions to problems and how, instead of just talking about the problems, what can we do to solve these problems? And he also simultaneously wrote a column called Ethics and Religion, which advocated for ethical, Christian-based approaches to the issues of the day. Mm-hmm. So I got my feet wet, really, around the dining room table as I learned to articulate my faith, as my father would ask me some tough questions, and ultimately he invited me to edit his newspaper column before it went out. I'm not sure if he was just kind of letting me think I was doing something and didn't make any of the ultimate changes I suggested, but it was great experience nonetheless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. And was he an influence in all the areas, your decisions to stay pure before marriage, and how did he influence your Christian walk?
My father and mother, after they came to Christ through St. Paul's Episcopal Church and the wonderful biblical preaching there, became very big fans of and listeners to Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
In one of those sessions, he talked about a set of resources called Preparing for Adolescence, which was both a paperback book as well as a set of cassette tapes back then. There was no such thing as CDs.
Right.
And so the idea was to take your son or daughter away on a very special weekend, preferably out of town at a special location where you would share other fun activities. And we went to a resort in upstate New York, my father and I, at the age of 15, and we enjoyed horseback riding and rowboating and these beautiful views over the lake that was filled with these gorgeous koi fish while we enjoyed delightful culinary creations of the staff. But in the midst of it all, my father and I worked through on our drive up there while we were there and our drive back through six cassette tapes that Dr. James Dobson had put together on preparing for adolescence. Things like, how can you tell the difference between puppy love and real love? And how to address the issue of having an inferiority complex, or how can you resist conforming to the peer pressure? And I remember distinctly a verse that became my life verse was Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I remember distinctly when Dr. Dobson was talking about the importance of chastity before marriage and fidelity within marriage, my dad paused the tape and said, Adam, I want you to promise me that you will choose abstinence until your honeymoon night. Will you promise me to do that? And I looked him right in the eye and said, yes, Dad, I will. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think it would take, 25 long years until I was at the age of literally 40 when my bride walked down the aisle in San Antonio, Texas. It took that long, but with God's help and my father's guidance, I was a virgin on my wedding night, which was a gift that was important for me. And I would challenge others who are single today, no matter what your age, you can make a commitment. If you've made some sinful choices in the past in this area, you can make a commitment to righteousness with God's help.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, but God will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it, and he'll provide a way of escape.
Amen. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Adam McManus, really giving a powerful testimony of just a life influenced by his father, a commitment to purity and chastity until marriage. I really want to talk a lot more about that with you, Adam, when we come back. We'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll explore a lot more about this idea, this surprising idea in 1984 that he went on the news as a college freshman, sophomore, to stay pure until marriage. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here in studio with Suzanne Maurer for Danny Yamashiro. We continue our discussion today, but in a moment. But if you'd like to hear today's program again or share it, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it, download it, share it with a friend. It's a good one. We're here with Adam McManus. He grew up serving the Lord in the church and through college and then on the mission field. Before our break, we were talking a little about his commitment. He made a public commitment to chastity until marriage at a very young age, influenced by his father. Purity. You talked about that in the last segment, Adam. What is the importance of this?
Well, I remember hearing one particular teaching that I think resonates with a lot of people I've talked to who were not raised in the same tradition, who did not know any better, and went down that road, the worldly road of promiscuity, and whether it's, you know, two people or you had 30 partners, whatever it is, you're going to be haunted by the ghosts of those past relationships. You are not able as a person to participate in the gift of sexual relations with another person, something that God designed to pull a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, together in intimacy in their marriage, and it not have an ultimately negative long-term impact on you. Not only in terms of possible flashbacks in the very moment of intimacy with your future spouse as you're thinking about previous sexual partners.
Mm-hmm.
But part of your soul, it's kind of ripped off and ripped apart. It's like, you know, people think that they can couple up with whomever they want in this hookup culture, and it's like two pieces of Post-it notes stuck together, and all you're doing is just peeling one Post-it note apart, and they're totally intact. No, it's like taking two pieces of Kleenex and putting a big glob of crazy glue between them and thinking you're going to be able to pull them apart like two pieces of Post-it notes. Part of Kleenex A remains in Kleenex B, and it's just a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people continue in relationships for sometimes months or years on end past when they should have because they have a sense of closeness through sexual intimacy that God designed for marriage, not for either a short-term or a long-term relationship. And yet it's confusing because people, you know, participate in this, and it's a natural progression of getting closer to someone. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing it outside of marriage and you're not doing it according to God's design, it can be explosive. It's like a fire in a fireplace is where the fire belongs, because that's where it looks nice. That's where you can kind of cozy up next to it as you're reading your book or your newspaper or enjoying time with family, playing a game of Monopoly. But that fire in the living room or in the kitchen or in the bedroom can burn down the whole house.
That's good.
You know, Adam, another thing that I've experienced is God blesses the purity and the abstinence until marriage, and he genuinely blesses those couples in a unique and powerful way.
I think you're right. There is something special about doing it according to God's design. I mean, the reason we encourage people to abide by God's teachings and commandments and precepts as articulated throughout Psalm, but especially in Psalm 119, is because they are indeed a light to our path. So we can see where we're going. And, you know, in the Westminster Catechism, it says, what is the chief end of man? It says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And there's something to be said, whether it's sexual sin or theft or, you know, fill in any one of the Ten Commandments or something that we know is wrong because of what the Bible teaches. We are further separated from God, and you can be a Christian and you can sin, and it puts a strain in the relationship. Just like when you are in a terrible argument with your spouse, you can still be married, but you can be distant from one another. And the same thing is true between you and God. Not that God left you, but you left God. And so when we turn our back on God and sin, and we go down that road, I mean, God forbid we, you know, come to the place of 1 Timothy 4:2 where it says you can get to a point where your conscience has become seared as with a hot iron. I mean, there are people that have gone down the road of rebellion for so long, even though they've professed Christ at some point previously in their lives, that the normal promptings of the Spirit that come through regular Bible study or reading or prayer or fellowship are not there because you're not reading the Bible regularly, not praying regularly, you're not in fellowship regularly, because you feel guilty and you feel shame. As you should. And by the way, guilt and shame sometimes are misplaced, but usually they come out of an actual sense of remorse that we should naturally have as God's creatures rebelling against his authority. So the Bible is God's instruction book. And if, you know, the average man, I think I speak on behalf of all men who don't like to read the instructions to any toy that our kids have been given by grandparents for Christmas, because we think we can figure it out on our own. And 3 hours later, and we've got 10 missing pieces, and it's not right. It's like, oh, I should have just read the instruction manual from the people who manufactured this toy. The same thing is true of God. I mean, whether it's his plan for our sexuality, designed it to bring a husband and wife close together, or his design for our prayer life or our worship or whatever, if we do it according to his instruction manual, the Bible, we're going to live that good life you guys talk about.
Yeah. You know, it's so good. I love that example of the toy and the reading of the manual. Gosh, I hope everyone heard that. But, you know, I have to ask this next question because you touched on it earlier. What if I've not read that manual? And I've started building, and I've gone down that path. Is there hope for me? Many of our listeners are listening, I'm sure, right now, and they say, I want that. I want to return to that. Can I, or is it too late for me? What do you say?
Well, I am almost brought to tears by your question because it makes me think of the time that I spend with my three children in family worship every night. And as part of that, we read a passage in the Bible, and there's questions about it through a one-year devotional book by Nancy Guthrie that I would recommend to every Christian parent to use with their kids or something like it. Three scriptures, three questions. But after that, we have a time of prayer, and we have a time of singing a hymn or a praise song. We do that every night over dinner. And I have taught my children the importance of the acronym ACTS to guide us through prayer. Mm-hmm. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, the acronym ACTS. Mm. And so before they pray, and we start with a different child every night, they say the four kinds of prayer summarized in the acronym ACTS. A, for adoration, we adore God for who he is. C, we confess our sins. T is thanksgiving, we thank him for our blessings. And S is supplication, we can ask God for something. And clearly, the priority level, the priorities are revealed in the very listing of those chronologically, that you should adore God for who he is and his character, and we should, and on the bottom of that list is that we ask for something on our behalf. But it all comes to your question of what would I say to someone who has gone down the road of trying to figure out life on their own without God's counsel, or they've known God's counsel and they've disobeyed it, and they've perhaps sinned sexually. The reason that I was brought to tears is that one of the character traits that my children love talking about in their prayers to God is, God, thank you for being a second chance giving God.
Mm.
And, you know, that is such a wonderful attribute of his, that he is a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance giving God, that he will forgive us and he will meet us where we are. And Romans 10:9 could not be more clear. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's the salvation passage. But he will also forgive us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that wonderful commercial from Dawn, the people that make the dish soap.
Yeah.
When they show the duck that's gotten stuck in the goop of the oil spill, this little innocent duck, and Dawn shows how, with just a couple drops of their wonderful elixir, that duck can be cleaned and set free. And the same is true of us. We get caught up in the oil slick of our own sin, and the sin of the culture, but our own sin primarily. And God has the elixir, the dawn of God's ability to atone for our sins and to cleanse us, just like Dawn does, cleansing that little duck in the ad.
Beautiful.
So good. Mm. We're here with Adam McManus. What a great, powerful testimony we hear today. We talked a little bit about purity. And what I just love, Adam, that you just shared is that ACTS acronym. I think it's something easy to remember and repeatable. And, you know, are we praying this way? I ask you out there, are you praying this way? Are you beginning your prayers with adoration, confession, thanksgiving? Have we stopped and said thank you to the Lord for all that we do have today? And then supplication. We're going to come back to talking with Adam McManus, talk a little bit more about raising his kids. So much there, I think, that you have to share, Adam, that our audience would really be blessed by. That dinner time ritual, if you will, that you have, so important to lead a family that way. We want to hear a lot more about what you're doing with your family and what you're doing with your radio news show. We'll be back. Adam McManus, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. We're in studio with Adam McManus, newspaper journalist and award-winning former radio talk show host on Salem Radio in San Antonio, Texas. He's currently the producer and host of The World View in 5 Minutes. He also produced Family Research Council's nationally syndicated radio show Washington Watch with Tony Perkins for many years.
Just one year.
We were just talking about
what a year it must have been.
Right.
Yes, right.
quite a year, 2019, I believe it was. That's right. Amazing. I think Suzanne had a question she wanted to ask.
Well, I'm listening to all this, Adam, and I'm trying to take notes. But there's also a precious partner involved in all of this, your wife. And I'd like to know, how did you meet your wife, where and when?
Oh, great question. I was on the hunt, let's put it that way. And I have to say, I am thoroughly perturbed by those in the church who somehow frown upon a young man or a young woman being purposeful about looking for their spouse. I mean, this is normative. This is what God wants. There's a couple exceptions to the rule in terms of the eunuchs and those who might have an instinct of a sexual desire. But for 99.9% of us, God wants us to be married, to create a family and to have that lifelong partner. Not that they're going to be our Savior. Jesus is our Savior, but they are the person that complements us. And so when I was willing to leave no stone unturned. I went on every single singles retreat I knew of throughout San Antonio and Austin, all the churches I could find. I ultimately went on a singles retreat with Community Bible Church in San Antonio, and I remember the singles pastor asking a question, kind of an icebreaker question, asking several people to raise their hands, you know, before the first session started. He said, "What's your favorite Bible verse?" And I thought, I'm gonna do a kind of a double whammy here. I'm gonna share my favorite Bible verse, and you know, really emphasize that I'm ready to get married at the same time. And so I said, "Mine's Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, 'It is not good that Adam should be alone.'" So my future wife, Amy, who was in the group, got a chuckle out of that, and we met. And over time, we ultimately decided to get married and are delighted that we did. In fact, I wrote a 40,000-word love story. It's never been published, but it's online at adamswedding.net. It's a fascinating up-and-down roller coaster of a story. At one point, we broke up. After a year and a half of dating, I wasn't sure. I had this long laundry list. Admittedly, I was like 37, 38 years old, and I had this long laundry list of what I thought I needed, deserved, should have. And so Amy didn't make some of the cuts, and I didn't make some of her cuts, I'm sure. But ultimately, I let her go, and she moved away to Houston. And God convicted me of, you know, how simple it really should be. And I asked my parents, I said, Dad, how did you know Mom was the right one? He said, look, these are the three things. You want to make sure she's a Christian, now that they were saved, you know, when they were 7 years into their marriage. Make sure she's a Christian. Make sure that that she's your biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And make sure that this is a woman you cannot imagine living without. And I said, if those are the three questions, and those are the focal points, then I know the answer to the question. The answer is Amy Holzer. Anyway, people can check out adamswedding.net. You can also listen to the interview. When I interviewed her the day I proposed to her, when I was on the radio for 13 years in San Antonio with Salem as well.
Okay, back
Adam's
up.
Wedding what?
adamswedding.net.
I love it. Thank you, Adam. Go ahead, Lonnie.
I'm at a pause here. You interviewed your then-girlfriend on your show.
Our whole relationship. We summarized the whole thing in an hour. It was it was a really crazy, crazy story because we had broken up and Hurricane Rita had hit in Houston, and I knew she was possibly in harm's way, so I called her. She saw me, my number come through, and she, of course, let it go to voicemail like any woman would. She said, look, I'm not going to I kept trying to call her, and, you know, throughout the time we were broken up because I missed her. Look, unless you put a ring on my finger, I'm not going to see you. That was her ultimatum.
Wow.
Which is great.
So she
I'm glad
knew.
She stood strong. So I'm the five love languages. I'm the gift giver. I love giving gifts. So I was sending her all these gifts and ultimately felt led by God around, you know, the Christmas before we got married to say to her on the phone, I said, you know, I think I'm ready. I want you to be the person I wake up to every day. And so when I told my parents about this, I said, I've got to fly back and ask for her father's permission for her hand in marriage to Dallas instead of flying back to San Antonio. They said, well, what? Amy Holzer? You haven't, because I dated someone after Amy. You haven't talked, when was the last time you saw her? I hadn't seen her for 18 months.
Wow.
And the other part of the crazy story was, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is of you, I was back on eHarmony. I said, you know, it would be crazy if you decide to match us up. We got matched up on eHarmony on top of it all. So I felt like God was confirming it in several different ways.
Yeah, God was up there going, how many times do I have to do this?
Exactly.
How many ways do I have to speak to you?
Look, us men are lunkheads after all, so it takes us a while to get the message.
That's great.
Oh, I love it.
So I know that you and Amy have raised three wonderful children, and I really want to ask you this question, because can you share with our audience the names of your children, maybe how you came up with those names, because I love them.
Honor, Mercy, and Valor. We want Honor to honor his parents, to honor the Lord, and to become a person of honor. We, of course, Mercy reminds us of God's mercy that is unfailing. No matter how many times we mess up, we deserve justice. We deserve to be sent to the fires of hell. He mercifully allows us through Christ to not only get a second chance, but go to heaven upon our death. We can have an eternal address in heaven. Mm-hmm. And we want Valor to be a man of courage and bravery. His middle name, Honor's middle name is Calvin, because we love the legacy of John Calvin. Mercy's middle name is Geneva, connected to John Calvin, where he ministered in Geneva, Switzerland. And Valor's middle name is Tyndale, after William Tyndale, mm-hmm. the man who translated the Bible into English,
wow.
English, and then was ultimately suffocated and set on fire because of his courage. Yeah.
So his name is
Valor
Tyndale McManus.
McManus, right.
Wow, I love that. That is special. So, you know, in this world, and you've touched a little bit about how you raise your children around the dinner table, what other ways have you raised your kids? And I think there's so much you could share with our audience about raising family.
Yes, the devotion that I would recommend is by Nancy Guthrie, and it's called 1 Year of Dinner Table Devotions and Discussion Starters. So they have a little devotional, several scriptures, and some great discussion starter questions. But, you know, it's all predicated on some key verses for us. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we teach our children that the first step is to know God. And to fear him Yes, I mean, yes, he's God Almighty and he can zap us in a moment, but we should have a healthy respect for who he is and the statutes he's put in place and the way of salvation through Christ. And I think of Genesis 18:19, what God said to Abraham, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Each of us as fathers are called to shepherd our little flock. And I think too often, even within conservative Christian families today, 2020, we delegate much of the spiritual responsibility and the heavy lifting to the church, which is absolutely the opposite of what God calls us to. Yes, right. There's a place for perhaps Sunday school or a youth group, but the primary spiritual obligation of the father is to instruct his children in the ways of the Lord. And Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 speaks to that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. It doesn't say the Sunday school teacher's primary obligation is to do this. It's the parents. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Now, I think that verse number 7 of Deuteronomy 6 also underscores the importance of homeschooling. But even that aside, even if you choose to private Christian school or even if you have your kids in public school, I think the ultimate spiritual buck stops at the feet of the father, and he is to disciple the children. And yes, it's called family worship. And when I first saw it modeled for me, just several years before I got married, I was astounded by it. I was stunned by its simplicity. I watched a father of 8 kids. We're all sitting around the dining room table. I was actually dating my wife, Amy, at the time. We were invited over to dinner, and I saw him walk through the Bible, ask lots of questions, bring in the news of the day, interestingly, and then they together prayed, and they together sang one hymn, and he said, that's what family worship is, and that's what traditionally has been a part of American Protestantism history for dating back to the founding of our country, but we've lost all that. And we put it on at the doorstep of the youth school, the youth director, and the Sunday school teacher.
Absolutely. Adam, so well said. You know, we live in a time now where we do abdicate so much of what God calls us to do as parents, and what the wisdom you're sharing and is, I'm sure, really touching many of our parents. We're going to take a quick break here, and we want to talk about your talk show and your radio experience, your newscast, The World View in 5 minutes. If you would like to hear more of the daily newscast, go to www.theworldview.com. We're going to come back and you're going to hear a little clip of today's 5 minute worldview. Get an idea and really want to talk a little bit more deeply about your passion behind what you talk about every day. And the importance of us as Christians being aware, knowledgeable, to understand from God's perspective what is going on in the world today. So, so important. Stay with us. We're with Adam McManus. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro with Suzanne Maurer. We're here with Adam McManus. He is the founder of McManus Talk Show Services, has over 20 years experience as a daily talk show host. He's currently also the radio news anchor for The Worldview in 5 Minutes, a quick look at the day's news from a biblical perspective. We want to play a short clip of today's report.
It's Monday, August 24th, AD 2020. This is The Worldview in 5 Minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. During daytime sessions of the Democratic National Convention, speakers omitted the phrase "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance during at least 2 public meetings, reports the Christian Post. The moderator of the DNC's Muslim Delegates and Allies Assembly web meeting on Tuesday afternoon left out the words, quote, "under God," end quote, as he recited the pledge to kick off the meeting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Also on Tuesday afternoon, during the LGBTQ caucus meeting, the speaker who recited the pledge paused silently instead of saying the words, quote, "under God," end quote, as written in the pledge. Oddly enough, he held up a display of 3 miniature flags, including the homosexual flag, as well as Old Glory, as if somehow people were making a pledge to the homosexual flag.
Hello, everybody. If you don't have a flag, I have flags here right in front of me. Please place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you take a look at the video of that very presentation, you'll notice, amusingly, that the homosexual flag literally falls out of his display at the very moment when he says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America." It's quite funny. Check out the video. Trump called it, quote, "an attack on God," end quote. Last year, Democrats in the House of Representatives pushed to eliminate the words, quote, "so help me God," end quote, from the swearing in of people testifying before a committee. Psalm 33, verse 2 declares, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance."
Adam McManus, that is the Daily Worldview in 5 Minutes, a clip from just today's show. Adam, what connected you or what called you to start this show?
Well, Matthew 5, 13 and 14, I think, would be the key focal point. "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, you and I happen to have a passion for and a platform of radio and podcasts. Most of your listeners do not, but God has called them with their unique set of skill sets, and I would challenge whoever you are, white collar, blue collar, worker, stay-at-home mother, whoever you are, God has called you with your unique skill set, and he wants you to take a stand for righteousness in the world in which you live, because typically each one of us has, you know, 50 close people and at least 200 in our kind of outer circle of people that we can influence for Christ, to draw them to the Lord, to make them think about doing things God's way in their marriage, in their family, in their business, and even in who they choose to vote for president or governor or state rep. So that's a very serious charge, that the salt of the earth can possibly lose its saltiness. And I think too many Christians today, for fear of offending someone else, for stepping on a toe perhaps, don't say anything. They bite their tongue. And I don't think we're being called to be nicer than Jesus, Lonnie. I think we're called, you know, there was a time when Jesus gave people a hug and encouraged them, and there was a time when he overturned the, you know, the tables of the money changers in the temple. Mm-hmm. So there's a place for righteous anger. There's a place for someone saying, you know, I don't believe that abortion is right. I think the taking of a child is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. And I will never support a candidate, whether it's Joe Biden or someone in Hawaii, who advocates for that particular position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk about that a little bit deeper. You know, many voices are coming at us as Christians, and we want to talk back. We want to rebel. When is it time to speak, and when is it time to not speak?
Well, certainly we are called to speak at the ballot box. Mm-hmm. Too many Christians, election in and election out, stay home. They sit on their hands and think, my little one voice doesn't matter. Well, it does. God calls us to it. And we live in a unique country in which we can exercise the privilege and the right to make a difference in the election, not just the presidential election every 4 years, but all the other small local elections. All of it impacts our lives. God has given the three distinct areas of authority: family, church, and the civil magistrate. We need to be the proper leaders in our home, we need to be accountable and the proper leaders in our church, and we need to be accountable and participatory when it comes to the civil arena. For us to put our head in the sand when it comes to politics is to neglect one-third of the three areas of authority that God himself established. This was God's idea to set up the civil magistrate. This wasn't Donald Trump's idea. This was God's idea. So we need to be a participant. We need to be the salt. We need not lose our saltiness. And when do we speak up? We speak up when God's standards are being violated. Psalm 94:16 speaks to this issue, and it says, who will stand up? Who will take a stand against the workers of iniquity? Who will speak up against the workers of evil? Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So in other words, it's not enough to ourselves not participate in homosexuality or abortion or pornography or fill in the blank. We need to expose a culture that is. Mm-hmm. We're to be countercultural. And so much of the seeker-sensitive movement has been an issue of making church so comfortable to the point that it's not even the church anymore. It's not speaking to the culture about what is the righteous plumb line of Scripture. What does Scripture say about living together? Is it okay for someone who calls themselves a Bible-believing Christian to be living in sin or shacking up with someone? No, it's not. It's wrong, and we need to say so. Right. Not in a way that embarrasses someone, per se, but we can pull someone aside and say, hey, brother, sister, I want to challenge you to search the Scriptures. Tell me that I'm wrong, but the Bible says flee from sexual temptation.
Yeah, yeah. This has been such a good hour, and it's sadly come to an end. Before we leave, we've got like a minute left, Adam, and would you pray, I mean, especially that our voices and our salt would not become unsalty.
Dear Jesus, you have called each one of us to yourself. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your willingness to die on that cross, even though in the Garden of Gethsemane you said, Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to have to go through this pain, this suffering, but then you obediently went to the cross. And Lord, we don't want to make light of your sacrifice. We see so many people with crosses around their neck, and we've got crosses on our walls, and we forget what the cross even means. It was torturous, it was agonizing, it was awful. And worse than that, you took upon yourself all the sin of the world, and you were separated from your Heavenly Father for that moment of time. And Lord, we cherish what you did for us. We thank you for rising from the dead to be victorious over sin and death and the world. And how dare we, as Bible-believing, blood-bought, forgiven Christians, then go into the world and act like the world. Help us to be apart from the world, to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
Help us to be winsome so that we draw people toward us because they see something in us that's different, and that something is someone, and that someone is you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you,
Adam, for being with us today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Those are inspiring words from Adam McManus. He can be found at theworldview.com. I highly recommend subscribing to his daily show, theworldview.com. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to him. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on Get to Know Jesus. We have a lot more information there. To help us with your prayers, your financial support, or make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on Partners. Help us continue. Proverbs 25:11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest today, Adam McManus. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lonnie Ka'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.